But let's continue to have these stories being told. So definitely, that's why I try to continue to support.
Gotta support. Gotta shout out to listen, them. Y'all all tired of Sad Black? Go buy a ticket and don't go. Did you buy a ticket?
Do you buy a ticket and don't go and say you went, or just say you bought a ticket and you just leave it at that? Why?
I bought a ticket, man. I just always support. I buy tickets.
Word.
Just buy out the holes.
Buy out whole screen.
Don't nobody go.
Damn, that's a real power play right there.
Send the link.
Welcome to Send the Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and reads. I'm Brandon Harrison with my co-captain, co-pilot, and co-sweet potato pie eater, DJ.
Man.
Are you just recovering from the itis now, from the holidays?
You know, I've been having extreme turkey withdrawals.
Really?
Yeah.
You had turkey?
Did I?
I mean, I don't fuck with it, but...
What's wrong with you?
I mean, turkey is undoubtedly trash.
Okay. I don't know if we've visited this before on our numerous pods over the years, but my stepfather makes a...
Does he fry
regionally
it?
Famous...
Is he fried, though?
Air fried, using some type of magical...
Lasers and shit?
Laser. Laser, word to Dr. Evil technology, and also basting it, injecting it with so much seasoning. It's actually won competitions. He made his first sale this year.
So can we step back for a second?
Yeah.
This nigga has a lab. He's just like, he's just in there like basting it. He's like, yeah, I have to turn upside down.
Yeah, and then when he doesn't do well, he's like Dexter in that meme, like, I have failed you.
Throw it out. He's got a whole like trash can full of schematics and shit.
It's like lopsided turkeys and shit. Exploded turkeys, deflated ones, mutilated. Yeah. So yeah, it's becoming regionally famous. I've tried to get him to capitalize, get in on this money, and make some money on.
As Busta Rhymes would say.
Is it? Would it?
Give me some more.
Oh, give me some more. Yeah. Sold his first turkey, $70.
$70? $70. I feel like you gotta go upscale. You gotta price high, so when you go to market, you can bring it back down. It's gotta be boutique turkeys.
So what he's doing right now is what you would call, in economic terms, finance terms, price discovery. Shoot a little high, shoot a little low, see who your clientele is, their socioeconomic background, test them out, break deals. Low ball, high ball.
So, I mean, the food industry is all about clout and sort of narrative. What's his narrative? Is his name Big Tex? No. Does he wear a hat?
You know, what did he name it? He named it, I'm not going to hold you, he named it The Taste. I don't know. I mean, it's his shit. You know, it has a little ring. I chuckled just like you did when you tell me that.
The Taste Turkey?
The Taste Ron's Turkey.
Ron's Turkey. Ron's Turkey. If we get... This nigga's name is Ron. He's not Big Ron.
what do they call him? Black man. I don't know. This is going Ron? Off the rails. Big Ron. Ronnie B's turkeys. Some shit.
I feel like you gotta go into like community down home, or you go boutique. You gotta pick one another. You can't be Taste and Ron. It gotta be like Ron, and it's like you and your overalls and shit. Mm-hmm. Or it's gotta be the Taste. The Taste Turkey. And it's just like, I would call it juicy turkey. Because turkey not juicy. If it's juicy, then it is. You got me.
It is. It is.
Shout out Ron
that turkey. So, yeah. So, I've been... So turkey withdrawals bring about bouts of intermittent narcolepsy. You just fall the fuck asleep.
Indeed.
Just be talking. I might fall asleep during this recording. So, just tap me if you need me to, like, if I'm starting to, you know, fade out.
Is it Travis Scott that says stay up?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, yes, I did indulge. I brought a turkey also from my grandmother's, where I celebrated Thanksgiving on both sides of my family, maternal and paternal. And first half of the day on my paternal side, brought back one of her sweet potato pies, as you mentioned.
Oh, wow.
Only had one slice. Shit was gone by the end of the day. It was sad.
Damn.
Sad day.
I'm sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah. I only had the warm embrace of a freshly fried Southwest Sweet Heat flavored turkey to hold me over. Yeah,
I'm with it.
Yeah, how about yourself? Because it's been a while.
It was a slight while.
I mean, we do this around holiday times. Get off our backs, all of the DMs.
Y'all in an office either.
We don't have interns. Logistics are difficult. It's better to be in person. So every now and then, if there's a holiday that comes up, there may be a 6% chance that we won't be able to get an ep. So,
but we here today.
We here today. It's only been like 10 days. Relax.
It's Advent. We still here.
Yeah, for sure. So. Yeah, yours.
I was on some like fuck Thanksgiving thing. Like I was being recalcitrant. I was pulling away.
The misanthropic ways of B. Harrison.
Well, it wasn't misanthropic. It just was that there was too many. There was two options, both of which required me to travel, which I just was not. I just wasn't in for it this year. Not for turkey.
How about family?
Oh shit.
Yeah, that part.
I just saw them, though.
Oh, well, whatever.
So it's good. They'd be all right. I'll catch them around Christmas. So I was like, I went up with my girl's fam for a little bit. Not even that long, to be honest. Made a little appearance. Boop, boop, pop, pop.
In and out.
And just, relax, maybe. Chilled out.
Okay.
Watch some terrible football. That's all it was.
Yeah, the games are always pretty bad because the teams that they traditionally show on Thanksgiving are some of the worst teams or worst run teams.
Yes.
For the most part, you have your Lions.
Yes.
Minnesota is off and on good. They're good this season. I believe they played. No. The Packers played.
It was the Lions and the Cowboys. Then the Falcons and Saints.
There was the one more game.
It was only three.
Three games?
Yes.
Okay, so you only named two games.
Well, the first game was the I want to say the Lions and what's some of us called? The Redskins? I don't know. But those are the teams that traditionally play.
Yeah, it was bland. It was blah. Long story short.
Who cares?
Yeah. You can indulge on that or take part in take a perch in the streaming wars. But so you missed out on jovial times with family. You missed out on the turkey. And you missed out on the gregarious conversations that happened at the Thanksgiving table.
That is a possibility. I would say that typically in my family, there isn't much to discuss. I have one uncle who is a Trump supporter.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yes. Uncle Tristan.
So, he waits for those moments. You weren't there for that rant.
Well, it's no rant. He revels in it because it's already discussed. Because we're black. There's no contention.
There's not.
There's no one that is like on his side or anything like that. It's not like a contentious argument. He is just, he's like, I'm from Trinidad. I came here. And y'all niggas are lazy. And that's why he's like mean about it. He's like, you just need to start a business like me and just work.
The core of this shit is always just being mad cynical and shit. Like, fuck y'all.
That's basically it. All right.
That dynamic is definitely endemic in, the vast majority of black households. So, despite these, I guess, how-to guides, written by mostly,
which I'm very cynical about.
Yeah, white authors on the internet about how to talk to your Trump supporting grandma at the Thanksgiving table.
Oh, cool.
They don't totally
dad
right. They don't particularly apply to black households. It's pretty clear. I believe last time I checked, Trump was polling around like 2% amongst.
I think so. It's Diamond and Silk.
Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. The strong two. And your uncle, so I guess, I don't know, maybe he's at three.
Yeah, he's been in early though, so I don't know if he's responded to the polls. I think he's on a campaign.
Okay, bet.
Yeah.
The conversation still comes up and it's usually through a veil of just exasperation and general hopelessness that combined with the central eagerness and to thrive and live that's been the calling card of black people for
our greatest 400 years. Abject cynicism.
Yeah, but it's gotten us this far,
Is it?
Yeah, somewhat. but in the face of that,
I think it's holding us back.
In the face of that is also the cynicism breeds about. I've seen a lot of like conspiratorial thinking, not necessarily going into the like conservative version of cynicism. More so, like this shit doesn't matter. Like these motherfuckers don't care about it.
Vote.
What
that gonna do?
They control.
I cut a nigga. It's like, what?
So, and if and when, we can always find our sieves in any political conversation, even if you're amongst polite company or people that might be more ideologically on your side, or, you know, for damn sure I ain't voting for Donald Trump because of numerous reasons for, per se. The conversation at my table, it veered off pretty quickly.
Interesting.
Between me and my dad, because my dad is like one of these like they people, you know, they control all this. I'm like, who is they? Can you explain the they? So
he father-son schism.
He extrapolated all out into the mob. I was like, nigga, the mob,
like the Italian mob,
the Russian mob, just the mob,
the mob, ethnically inclusive mob,
just the full mob, and essentially saying we have no control over our circumstances, our past and present or our future. Just giving into that abject cynicism. I tried to break down, albeit a very complicated set of laws and institutions that we have in the world and in our country, but it wasn't really getting through. So eventually, everybody just said, "Okay, well, just tell your dad that he's right, so we can move on."
Oh, so like, can you got to paint the picture for me? So you made it sound like it was between the two of you. You were at the table.
It was kind of between the two of us, but nobody else was talking. Everybody was like,
"Are you at the head of the table? He's at the other end."
Nah,
you're talking across.
He was low key. May have been at the other end. He was at the end. My grandmother was on the other end, obviously, but I was like adjacent to him, and I just kind of let it slide. You know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just kind of dug, and I was like, "Nah, this is not just how this shit works." So, because he was resigned into thinking the foregone conclusion that Trump is going to win, but he's also has, you know, a good amount of black man's barbershop isms in him. So it's just also kind of just like him bullshitting, talking and whatnot. He's like, "Man, you know what? Yeah, we just got to put up Biden and we'll figure it out." And that is the quite sane political calculus that you can count on black people to make. Because the reason Kamala Harris is dropping out today, yet Joe Biden is leading.
Segue.
Somewhat, yeah, I tried.
Did that, dog.
While Joe Biden is still leading in most of the general polls, especially in the states that have a larger proportion of black caucus goers, is because black people have put a lot of their, it seems as if, especially the older ones, have put a lot of their individualized issues to the side and are making a somewhat straightforward play that Joe Biden is the best person to beat Donald Trump in a general election because of his resonance amongst white voters.
Is it that calculated?
It's pretty much as simple as that.
I thought it was that.
It's like a lack of faith in white people.
I thought it was just Obama.
The familiarity is there, but you can just see the resonance that Joe Biden has amongst an older, whiter, less educated cohort of voters.
Yeah.
So the best way to court that is to put him up on the ballot.
Yes.
And politics be damned, flubs be damned.
How do we make these white people comfortable?
For the time being, because shit is fucked up right now, and Shirley can't keep making all these chicken sandwiches. So.
Popeyes. That was Popeyes reference.
Yeah, it was Popeyes meme reference.
Shirley. Yeah. So Shirley Chisholm?
Yeah, no, well, nah. Shirley, she set a world record for making Popeye sandwiches.
Damn.
But that's what it comes down to the table. Everybody's like, okay, we're moving on.
That's fair.
It's fair. Very fair.
I mean, just in terms of that calculus, for me, it feels like none of that even matters until we get there.
Right.
It's a preemptive in a way that
it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah.
It's more about, it's like the stock market. Niggas is just, they're just panicking and making it happen via the ism of panic.
Well, yeah, we're in like a pretty critical situation. The president's being fucking impeached right now.
Oh, yeah.
So there are things going on. There's a lot of shit taking place, at least federally. So, and that point of view, especially amongst black voters, has a lot of resonance because pundits would have thought going in that someone like a Kamala Harris or even Cory Booker or maybe coming in DeVoe Patrick, all black candidates, would take a large chunk of that voter base that supports Joe Biden, right? But we see today, because of a lot of purported mismanagement and lack of funding, Kamala Harris is dropping out of the race after being quite high up in the polls not too long ago, and also coming at Uncle Joe's head pretty hard body.
But if you come at the king,
best not miss.
Best not miss.
All right, Omar.
Best not miss. Uncle Joe was like, "All right, you better get the fuck stepping. Get out of here."
I think he just like
take that malarkey.
Take that malarkey.
Take that malarkey. Go back with you to California and shit.
Right.
With your white husband. Yeah, I feel like Joe said that. He's like, "With your white husband." And all the black people are like, "He's telling Joe."
Oh, right, Uncle Joe.
Cynical.
Yeah, I think you had a piece, and I think everything, the entire number of tweet takes that have come out today since her announcement, make it pretty clear that she never really positioned herself well. And I said the same thing about her when she had posed for quite some time. And I'm not the only person to do so, where it just seemed like nobody really was really able to get a handle on what type of candidate she was going to be, or really what she stood for.
Yeah, the piece really does that well, Marion Powell. Did we ever know the real Kamala Harris? And it speaks to not only her political career and the campaign, but also the internal mechanisms of the campaign. And she appeared to not really settle on what her policy was going to be. Right. She was always sort of a political person that was maneuvering her way through politics from the beginning in San Francisco, up through statewide elections, and then now this national election. But it never really required her to have too many positions that made her to appear on the left because of the way California operates. It's like pretty much everyone's a Democrat, so she got to be a cop, and that was fine. And she got to be, you know, the next Obama and open up for him and with his campaign 2008 and help him out and be in this political scene, but not really have a political ethos. Mm-hmm. Besides that, I'm sort of tough on crime.
And I'm black. I'm multiracial.
I'm a multiracial black woman who went to Howard, who's sort of trading on that while not really having the history of that and making black people uncomfortable on top of that, the cop thing. So it's like this, it's a identity issue at the crux of who she is as a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Her personal identity, her sort of, campaign identity in terms of its policy.
Yeah, there would
be. It's just up in the air with everything, to the point where they allude to this in terms of her campaign. Her sister was like her head campaign person, and it had all these internal issues with the other man that was leading it, Juan Rodriguez. It's just like, what do you want to do? Do you want to push the left? Do you want to push to the center? You're not going to be Joe Biden. You are going to be this black woman who appears to be the perfect candidate for 2020, as we've seen, but the
unity candidate.
But like, what is she? What does she offer?
She
no message.
Yeah, no clear message. They changed her, general direction and message and mottos a couple of times. Did not really commit to one or two tentpole ideological or policy positions. She initially came in from the left, initially supporting, Medicare for all and whatnot.
Right.
But then around the time when these debates start to come up, you start to get asked direct questions, and
pulls back a little.
She started to hedge a bit more and had difficulty really articulating the position that she was trying to really come out with. She was definitely wasn't the only candidate to do so, but she did it so long ago that and didn't really bounce back from it without any big major progressive policy ideas or even promises to make as a president, because as a president you run the entire executive branch. You're actually not really legislating, despite all of the policy talk.
The only thing I remember her saying that was like an interesting or engaging policy was lengthening the school day. That was like a brief thing. And she's like, school should be from like 9 to 6 so people can pick up their kids.
Right.
People are like, that's fun. And then she's like, yeah. Didn't even hit the news cycle really.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough run for president, obviously. So, I mean, it's, you know.
It's just mad easy. Sucks. Tripping.
Sure, right. I know. Trump did it.
You're just going to go out there and just be
just
flexible.
Lie and just like, yo. Just promise the world to everybody.
Just be like, fuck with me.
Right. Fuck with me. I'm lit. I'm okay.
I mean, that's it.
So you can go up there and stroll. I don't know.
That's it. Shit. The key is to not lie, to be honest.
Just bullshit in the head as well as you can, but not lie. No, explicitly lie.
Tell the truth with who you are.
So what do you mean?
Like, Trump was like, fuck with me, I'm full of shit. Like, basically, his marketing was like, yo, look, I'm out here.
I'm crass.
Yeah, I talk a lot of shit. Look, I'm making fun of a disabled person. I make fun of people. People are like, yeah. Bernie's like, he's an old man. I'm out here, you know, trying to help everybody. Medicare, you know, student loans. And people like, yeah, all right, okay. Bernie's, he's... fucking magically conjuring birds and shit. Remember that
shit? Bird landed on the lectern, right?
You know, legend. Just like with anything, you gotta be true to thine own self, man. And
right, yeah, yeah.
With your messaging, because even if you're full of shit,
mm-hmm.
you're full of shit.
It's right, your okay. shit. So I get what you're saying now. Yeah, as a individual, you know, what is your presence, your charisma, what is it really speaking to?
Right.
And I guess she didn't want to play up her identity so much just because, you know, the way she looks speaks for itself, but there wasn't really much else to that besides the fact that, you know, colloquially as social media took it, she's a cop, right? And
she's like, I am a cop.
You would think, or play up this SVU shit like we were talking about or something, because I think that started to be an issue as well, because maybe her team, I think I had read that in the piece, that her team was a little bit too sensitive to some of the criticism that she was getting from the left or from, you know, blue check marks on Twitter or on Facebook and whatnot. And there was definitely a pretty large draft on her perception in social media because of her past as a prosecutor and attorney general of the state of California. Because when you have those type of roles, you definitely do have to make tough decisions. And she probably, you know, was responsible for locking people up or pushing through certain initiatives that harmed, you know, some people that she would claim to want to represent or right. you know, not be totally representative of her politics now. And she never quite owned up to that nor pivoted off of that. So I definitely remember a lot of even friends and, you know, quote unquote smart people I follow, whatever, really were like going ham or really going hard at Kamala Harris, like with the whole cop stuff and
the truancy memes. Thing.
Yeah. And, you know, supposedly knocking up parents, but a lot of that stuff didn't really bear out, but it was manifesting itself online. And if you don't have, for a purported candidate like her that was supposedly in this gray, leftish, moderate area that has a lot of her base supposedly with young people or progressives, a lot of that shit does take place online. A lot of that energy is online. And that seemed to really follow her. Like, that cop shit was real. I saw mad memes, even just like the way she dressed. Like, how you gonna tell me she's not a cop with the way she's dressed and all this type of shit? And a lot of them were, you know, rhetorically empty or, you know, kind of begged the question about what they meant. But having all that chaff in the air doesn't help you in your race. You know what I mean? She's not Joe Biden relying on, you know, old white, old uneducated. Well, not even, well, basically old, relying on the Obama population and old people and our grandmas and shit like that, that are just going to vote Joe Biden just to make sure everything is cool. That's not what she was relying upon. So
she was trying to flex her way through Twitter. I'm a black woman.
Right.
Fuck with me.
Yeah.
But it's at the end of the day,
I like to cook.
You know, fuck with me. I'm Obama. You can't just pretend to be Obama and have a white husband. I'm sorry. Twitter not going to let you do that. And this has nothing to do with her history as a cop, because as a cop, as attorney general, you would think it would behoove her to be the best person on criminal justice. Like, that was just a lane that was just ripe for her to pick up and be forward and address straightforward. So for all the social things to come in, it just compiled. And I don't think Twitter was just let her cook. People, you got to have policies, because I joke about Liz Warren as my preferred candidate, but everybody knows she was on some bullshit with that Native American thing. Everybody knows she was on some bullshit by actually being a Republican before. But she's like, listen, I'm trying to give y'all niggas free school. We try to get y'all health care. We try to reduce them loans. Here's the paperwork.
Right.
All right. So if you have this major issue with your character as a candidate, why not address it? Why not knock it right down? Mm-hmm. Criminal justice. So, I mean, RIP Kamala. See you later, Kami. I feel like, especially considering the rest of the people that are dropping out, I'm glad that a lot of people will continue to be in positions of power. Hopefully, in 2020, we have all these senators that are putting bills forward about
the issue.
She's fine.
It's not like she'll fade into fucking political oblivion. So it's not
Supreme Court justice.
Whatever Kamala the fuck Harris. Matters, you know. She wasn't. I don't think either one of our preferred candidates in any universe. I thought she was fine. I think most of these Democratic candidates would be fine. Fine. You know.
Okay.
Right. So it is what it is. It's just unfortunate that her candidacy definitely did not see, like, live out to its fullest potential, definitely, I would say. Right. I think in a different universe or on Earth 1, because we're clearly on fucking Earth 2 right now, her candidacy would have gone better with some better decision making. But, you know, at the end of the day, that falls on her. Last little anecdote that I did want to end on this. I always have a weird suspicion, especially coming out of 2016, looking at, you know, national politics, that a lot of the bad faith shit that you see kind of like burble up is from the fucking Russians or Macedonian kids. It's like,
some Macedonian kid is like, Kamala Harris, she cop.
They've gotten fucking sophisticated.
Yeah, they know they're doing.
So I just can't shake the feeling that, you know, some of the shit that we see or the memes we've seen are have been like insidiously put into the bloodstream.
Memes.
No, for sure. It definitely happens. So, you know, that's why I try to really turn down a fallback on rhetoric. I mean, I'm not someone that is very active on posting comments or retweeting.
But you're also
stuff.
Not, you don't believe like that rhetoric.
Not at all. But I'm always concerned about the next person because oftentimes it'll be somebody else that, you know, retweeted or LOL'd at something or what have you. And it's like, we don't necessarily know the origin of a lot of this stuff. And not too long ago, I did kind of trace back some kind of, you know, random wild shit that I had seen. And it did go to one of those like random ass accounts that have, you know, like Mike Eagle 777. And then the end of the handle was like emojis and shit like that of an American flag and an eagle and shit like that. Those accounts are fake. Like, that is not a real account. And, you know, we're not really doing the due diligence to cut down on that, although, you know, Facebook and Twitter are always supposedly, quote unquote, trying to handle that. But yeah, just be easy on that. I think that component, even if they weren't Russian or Macedonian or, you know, Chinese trolls doing that, the virality of such bad faith, you know, jokes and criticism.
Yeah, it's bad. Like, I know it's funny.
I don't know what to do about it. Yeah, I mean, it just is what it is. But I think that affected her as well. Like, all that cop shit, I'm telling you, like, it wasn't, it kind of grew and blew up overnight. And I was like, damn, like, was this shit, like, really, really a thing? Like, do y'all really even know about her as a person?
Do y'all really even know how, like, prosecution works or anything? No. They don't know shit. They don't know how laws work.
Because I know I don't. So, I mean, that's why I'm mad. Or just getting in on it, you know? And I don't know how to really fight against that per se, but I think at least a small percentage of her decline was contingent on that, especially amongst young black voters, because niggas were not fucking with her after a while.
That's her market share.
Yeah,
she's trying to get the young Kamalas.
And niggas were not fucking with that. You know, for whatever Bernie did, like, shit's just working.
Sad,
yeah, sad.
Well, I mean, it's difficult out here, man. You know, it's a very competitive space to be in.
And niggas gun each other down. Shit.
Every day it's hard on these streets.
Grandma remaining steadfast. They said, Joe got to go to the White House for one more term.
DJ, do you have a favorite Dipset song?
Favorite Dipset song?
Yeah, or, you know, one of the members of
the troupe. I remember, big fan of First in the Month. Got that one. It's okay. Hard. I'll go with that one. I like First Month. You know what? Beautiful Noise.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I mean, mine isn't really a Dipset song per se, but it's just a Cameron song.
Yeah.
Cameron J, of course, Welcome to New York City.
Okay.
Yeah. And my favorite line, and I think it really it hits when I think about you and a struggle you're going through right now is there's a war out here that no one is safe from. It doesn't matter if you're 3 feet.
Or 8'1".
Or 8'1".
Shout out to whoever's 8'1" out there.
Shout out to Georgia Murison, wherever he is.
Right.
You, my friend, have endured a many years long fight. You are a soldier.
Through the elements.
Through the elements.
Yeah. A light snowstorm has hit the city.
And I've seen it as I entered the PLG parlor today. All of the spoils of this war.
Yeah.
You, my friend, cannot get a goddamn package.
Oh, you saw the trove of. I was like, what the fuck? I've never seen 78 Amazon packages in the fucking lobby. Because I guess the shit was just backed up until today.
And yes, over the holidays. And you would think. I would think, you know, just, you know, your particular building or, you know, bad luck or it's a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
But no, our intrepid reporters out in the street are figuring out
what the fuck is going on.
Winnie who? Matthew Haag? 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 Dutch? Matthew Haag. 90,000 packages disappear daily. Daily.
Daily. One of them was mine, motherfucker.
In New York City. Is help on the way? I don't think so. Package theft is also rising in other places people don't care about, like Denver and Washington. DJ, anecdotally, before we get into your ongoing saga, I had a birthday. As of today, yesterday. Ooh, listeners.
Time stamped.
I was my uncle, who is a particular kind of African-American gentleman, decided he was like, you like some Clarks? I'm going to send you some Clarks.
Oh, okay.
I was like, all right, if that's what that makes you feel good, send me a specific.
You'd be the manager maker right now.
I know, right? You wouldn't send me a specific type of colored boot? Fine.
Mm.
And I was like, all right, you know, you can send it to me. I mean, I don't know, you want to just give me a gift card or something like practical? It's like, no, I know. What size you wear? I'm gonna send them to you. And then he goes, you know, actually, I don't know. Like, we gotta figure this shit out. Can I pick it up for the store? Cause niggas be stealing out there. I'm gonna send you those shoes and leave them out there and they steal them.
Word.
And I was like, that's facts.
Valid.
That is a valid point. So I still have yet to get them. But as we talk about this article, I thought about you and I was like, yeah, I gotta watch out. And like the article explains, it's more a consequence of our beloved techno future than we like to think about, than just people stealing.
Right, right, absolutely. So, you know, it's not as New York centric, although we can be, you know, rather chauvinistic about that. It speaks to the continual, you know, digitized future that we have. The state of e-commerce, which is still relatively small in the U.S. retail space. But, you know, even 1% of that is still hundreds of millions of packages, you know, being sent and delivered
and all throughout the U.S. Sing.
That too. Whose name is that? That's Amazon?
Yeah. Shit, it was mad creepy. I was like...
Shit was creepy.
And it was like talking when the kid was sleeping. It was like, good night. I'm a box.
First box I give him now, I'm canceling the Prime. I don't even use my own Prime account, but I'm canceling whatever the fuck's Prime account I have at this point. But because one of the you know, cool buzzwords of internet 2.0, 3.0 design and culture is frictionless or the lack of friction.
Smooth.
So how many people nowadays actually remember Amazon? They I guess it didn't work out on the whole, but remember the button? Remember the button you could just press like to get more Tide? Remember that?
The Amazon, like
they had a button. They would have these
purchase.
Yes, no, that was kind of dumb on that regard.
I remember the one where they could break it to your house. Remember that? I remember that one. Amazon service. Let them come into your house so you don't feel those.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the next phase of this shit. Everybody's gonna have Amazon niggas in the crib doing that last mile work. But
and nigga, he just live in your house. He'll go out and get it and bring it back. Bring
it. You pay his rent. Yeah, it's just about to be wild in the future, man. It might just be a robot, you know. I don't know. But Yeah.
You just living in an Amazon warehouse.
aside, we can easily add just about anything we want to a cart online, yes, from Amazon or any other myriad of e-commerce sites out there for whatever services we want. And with a few clicks of a mouse and taps of a buttons, it can be at your door sometimes within a day, within a few hours, and if you're fucking with Amazon, within the next day or two, right? And now everyone has access to do that.
Everybody.
And more and more people are becoming familiarized with that and using it for a variety of, you know, needs, getting a variety of things of various sizes. So
gifts and regular purchases like toiletries and things like that.
Absolutely. So it's led to the frictionlessness, right? The lack of friction on the internet, mm-hmm, of these services of making purchases has caused a large uptick in the actually massive friction of the logistical works it takes to get, yes, shit to from point A to point B.
Physical ramifications.
Absolutely, because you know we can live in this digital world all we want, but if you want to get these clocks, those clocks still got to get here one way or another. I don't know. Maybe if 3D printing get off the ground and we live in a Star Trek future, but that seems like it's a little ways off. So for the time being, if you're getting those clocks off of clocks.com, they still have to go from their warehouse and somehow be delivered to your door.
Damn, is this what Agent Smith was struggling with when he became a human in the Matrix?
What part?
In Matrix 3, when he came to the human world, nigga was like, oh, it's painful.
No, because it's like slow or some shit. Thought niggas was slow, right? You couldn't just go wherever you want, inhabit anybody's body. Quite possibly. So
my packages.
So, long story short, there's a lot of these fucking packages floating around from a variety of services. Amazon is revolutionizing and just completely cannibalizing the logistics industry to the point where they're actually not even, they're starting to end their contracts with like FedEx,
right?
Or FedEx ended their contract with them, and now they're doing their own logistics. Literally have their own planes and these massive digitized factories near, you know, urban centers. There's another expose in the Times over the weekend about how they've come to dominate in the Baltimore area with a lot of, you know, cheap labor and robots, mm-hmm, and whatnot. And it has its benefits, but it definitely has its large downsides. And the American economy still hasn't totally caught up to the accommodations that have to be made or the new realities that exist if we are still to continue to use something like Amazon in its current state, right? Because they even have these people that do that last mile that you said, like, literally will pick up the package and bring it to your door as some type of like unpaid, well, not paid, I mean, lowly paid contractor labor. So all that said, there are all these transactions, all these packages floating around, and it's causing a logistical logjam. And oftentimes, the only way to really deliver a package nowadays is to leave it on someone's doorstep or outside the building or at the front door.
Especially in major cities with massive apartment buildings.
Exactly. So it's not just New York centric, but at all those urban centers that Brandon already had mentioned, whether it's your Denver's or DC or Atlanta and whatnot. And with that, there's been, you know, a expected uptick in thievery and petty crime.
Which I'm not gonna lie, I appreciate.
Do you?
Not thievery itself, but I fuck with pirates, the idea of them. Pirates. So it's like, damn, modern pirates is just... Like
Jack Sparrow stealing your clocks?
Yeah. Crown Heist Jack Sparrow out here running around.
Crown Heist Jack Sparrow.
On a scooter and shit.
Right.
Oh, you matey. I'm going to come up on some new Amazon Echoes.
I thought the joke would be like, niggas in Brooklyn already dressed like Jack Sparrow.
Low key though. Just got the wild designer jeans and shit with different designs. Mm-hmm. Bandanas and bangles and shit hanging off.
Yeah, eyeshadow and shit. It's lit out here.
Pirate season.
Right. Pirate season is in order. So yeah. So you lamented at my experience. I had a pair of, I don't know, some boots or something like that stolen from me. a couple years back. That was my first bad one. Mm-hmm. And now I'm in the midst of not actually an instance of thievery, but my shit is just lost.
Right.
And that happens a lot as well, because there's so many packages that, yes, there is a percentage of them that just kind of get lost in the system and they have to get found or whatever, what have you. And my package was sent through USPS, and their infrastructure and everything is far behind USPS and FedEx and Amazon, from my understanding. So I'm at a relative impasse until the shit just pops up. So the post office down the street, they have my number. I guess they said there. I guess they would call me when
they're not going to call you.
I mean, they probably won't. probably won't.
I will say, though, I don't call it a positive, but one thing I've thought about is that I don't remember the last time I received a package at my home. I just refuse to do it because I'm terrified of
somebody stealing shit.
Because I'm just like, I always use the locker things and or send it to store. If I'm buying some kind of thing from a store, I send it to store. I'm just pick it up because it's just too much drama to worry about what's going to happen to it. And furthermore, the strain that is being put on these systems is insane. And I really, really try to be like, yo, like, just like air flight, it's like, I gotta appreciate this shit. Like, I don't need to have any of this consumer bullshit. And somehow it gets here.
It's definitely crazy that Amazon is going to one day shipping. Like, you know how much of a crunch that is?
It's insane.
It really is wild.
You have to have it on hand. Basically, you have to be like, all right, we just keep everything, New York City, all right, we're going to keep everything in a warehouse in Jamaica and just be like, yo, if you got it, go get it. Have people killing themselves, rushing, paying them terrible. It's just like,
it's a lot of strain.
It is late-stage capitalism.
Yeah. I mean, we can even post, additional pieces that speak to that. I mean, it definitely is causing a lot of strain just to meet these self-imposed deadlines, right? I mean, that we don't need absolutely everything immediately, you know, within a day. What was it before? It was 2 days? It's been 2 days for a minute for Prime.
I feel like it's been 2 days for a long time.
For a while. I don't know if it used to be. Since they got off the ground, yeah. No, they had free shipping.
But it was standard?
Standard,
2 to 5?
Yeah. And then it went to just two flat, regardless of whatever the fuck it is.
Whatever it is. Whatever you want. Whatever it is, it's there.
Paper towels. Elephant.
All coming in a mis-sized box. It's like same large box.
Right.
Toothpaste.
Yeah. Remember I read this thing. I think we discussed on the pod before, but about a guy in San Francisco that worked as an Amazon delivery person. And once he delivered, you know, a pack of gum that was in like a 1x1 box to this like office.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, because I mean, if it's available to people, then, you know, without any, you know, reservations, then people definitely will use it. With the frictionlessness, I hate that word. I don't know.
Frictionlessness.
Is there, you know? So we're just trying to comply with it. But there are these vulnerabilities there between the strain on the workers that do this and also the last mile and end results that we're saying. So it seems as if you're a proponent, or you've started to habitually use these lockers, or you don't have like an old lady that holds your mail like in the piece. Did you see that shit out there? Shout out to her. Son. I got an old lady on my floor. Maybe she can hold my mail.
Hook her up.
Right.
A couple dollars, whatever.
And yeah, name was Ma. She would just hold everybody's mail.
Like, you know, get yourself some candy, Ma.
Yeah. some butterscotch and shit. So, in this case, I probably couldn't have done that. I don't know what the rates are for like P.O. boxes. That seemed like some real old school shit. I would think, right?
Yeah.
But in these type of cases, it probably would help just to avoid the headache. There's a guy that is starting up, that has a startup for New York City for like the Airbnb of package holding.
It's called a warehouse.
Yeah. I mean, it's very like, you know, one of these Web 3.0 startups that are just kind of like just ridiculous on his face.
Got cats with AKs outside. Like, this here, the boxes, the gifts right here. Ain't coming in here.
Exactly. So, I can't call it. I've actually been on a pretty good lucky streak. It's only been up until this package that my fortunes have turned. But we'll see. It's a continual thing. But
how about y'all out there? Stop with your consumerism, right? Yeah, slow it down. All right? That's how we got in this capitalist nightmare.
The streets in New York are filled with Ubers and last mile deliveries.
That's it.
That's like the majority of the cars. You see a bunch of fucking black Camrys, Sequoias. That's probably the Honda Accords.
Yeah.
That's like Corollas, Hyundai Elantras.
Camrys, Corollas, all that, you know.
Yeah, Corollas. And that's it.
Oh, God. Holidays. More stressful than you think.
Especially on them folk, yeah.
Oh, the bottom of the economy.
90,000 packages. Maybe they get a bonus. Yeah. I don't know.
It's crazy, man.
While Jeff Bezos counts his dollars. So
good for him.
Good for him.
Can we talk about the way we should be spending our dollars in the corporatist arena?
How should we, Brandon?
On entertainment.
Oh.
Not physical things.
Yeah. On what do I want to say?
Fleeting on entertainment.
On the salve to lessen the pain of being in the continual hamster wheel of living to work.
Forget about all your suffering. To live. Queen and slave suffering gone. Black pain. Cinematography.
You guys can't see Brandon. I'm picturing you doing like the Simba thing.
Oh yeah, no, rub your thumb across the front of your Simba. Head. Simba. Black pain movies. Police brutality. Another one, Be Free.
Of course.
This one by lesbian hipster.
Shout out to Rafiki.
Shout out to Rafiki. Yo, blessing us all with more content. All jokes aside, I heard great things about Queen and Slim.
Did you?
I have. Now, I have not seen it yet. I've yet to see it.
Mm.
I may.
I was about to say, like, did you play it too?
It's funny, like, with cultural moments like this, when people, like, talk a lot about people seeing it, and there's a lot of commentary about how they feel about plotting, writing, the filmmaking, whatever. I always feel left out when I don't necessarily want to see something. But if I really, like, if I could just give them $10
and
just not go. Like, yo, like, this is an important moment in the culture. Like, yo, here's my $10.
Boy, black cinema.
Yeah, black cinema. Just here you go.
Yeah.
Take that. I don't want to sit.
Now, mommy, if I'm putting you on the spot, but yes. Why do you not want to go? Which could be a simple question.
It doesn't appeal to me. Mm-hmm. In the sense that the plot appears to be on the nose here, which is a Bonnie and Clyde plot.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't care about that at mm-hmm. all. Mm-hmm. I get it. They're black, and there's another police angle. It's like, all right, mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. They're going to get away or they're not going to get away.
Yeah, okay. All so right. I haven't seen Bonnie and Clyde. But from the, you know, just living in America, the various cultural anecdotes I get from the movie, I don't think the movie is actually the same. I guess it's like a spiritual successor to it. But
do you want to know, like, the plot?
Sure.
Really quickly?
Yeah, and I can tell you whether Queen and Slim is the same.
It's not in the
sense. I know they don't kill a cop, like, to start off.
It's not in the same in the sense that Bonnie and Clyde are criminals.
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie and Clyde, they're bank robbers, and eventually it doesn't work out and they die.
Okay, well, then it's not...
There's something like a killing spree, and it's fun. It's like, ah!
Okay, it's almost nothing like Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, they're just on the run.
Right.
But the idea of a man and a woman.
Yeah, there's an ampersand in the name.
A woman on the run from the law is a Bonnie and Clyde story.
Fair enough, all right. I'm still more partial to Natural Born Killers. You see that?
Okay, Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, and who's that? Patricia Arquette? Who's that?
I don't know, because I've never seen it.
Yeah, you never seen it?
No.
Oh, that's pretty good. Good film.
I have.
It's like manic. It's like a coke binge. It feels like, yeah. Not sure if you're not sure if you're into that, but, you know.
It's a party.
Get you jazzed up. It's very, like, very manic. Yeah, gruesome.
Interesting.
Yeah, so. Without spoiling too much, it is very on the nose. It is. And... I definitely enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I would recommend it, and I definitely recommend, you know, as a test of solidarity to support a black film. I think.
Not to interrupt you, but I realized I can do that. I can actually just pay for the ticket and not go.
Right. They go.
I said that like it was like some kind of like.
I mean, nobody stopped you, but you know, I think you wanted like a symbolic thing. Maybe you could just hang out in front of Court Street,
hang on the wall and shit. It's like, oh,
I was thinking you go to, you know, Court Street or something. By the ticket, like, yo, here you go, little man.
Go see that black cinema.
Word.
Yeah.
Black power. So that was a component of it for sure. I didn't really feel the impetus to go, to be honest. I think we're similar in a number of ways, obviously. And I kind of felt like it probably would be pretty much very on the nose in some respects. And that was borne out to be true. And when we say on the nose, I think the voice and rhetorical point of view was like fairly clear and set out.
Right.
And that shows in some of the lines in the monologue, well, not really monologues, but in the writing. Although the writing is you know, it's layered, it's good, it's not like a fucking, I don't know, like some BET movie or something like that. Yeah. Like it's polished for sure. It's filmed well. But I guess do you lead with the criticisms or what have you? It, just at the end of the day, it wasn't as keen and layered and nuanced as a film, like as a different version of that film would have been made that I would have loved.
Right.
You know. So you kind of just take it for what it is because it has a very clear, you know, strong voice for what it's saying, although it doesn't really point to any real, I guess it couldn't, but any real like solutions or resolutions or yeah. anything to really take away from the film that besides the fact that like kind of just happened and it's not really pro or against. It just tells a story. So I guess that's not necessarily a bad thing. But yeah, that's probably my main critique. It's just, I'm more of a fan of just like more nuanced films. I think something like the past few Barry Jenkins films, like they're more like, besides like kind of the auteurishness, just like the nuance of them is it's more my
story and yeah. what it like. It's, I mean, like I said, the Bonnie and Clyde trope, it's a trope. It's a genre film essentially.
Yeah,
it's a trope
so yeah.
it's kind of like you're not really getting a unique story. Mm-hmm. Like that storyline is already exists, that on the run story. So mm-hmm. everything in it is kind of part of something you would expect as opposed to some original tale about something.
Yeah. Bokeem Woodbine is in it.
Oh, he's in it?
Yeah, he's really good.
I always know his, like, I remember his name.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, he looks like a hamburger. Hamburger. I'm Bokeem Woodbine. I feel like he sounds like that, even though he doesn't.
He does that. He plays like a nigga from New Orleans. So it's just like
his,
amazing.
I feel like his mouth is bigger than his head. I don't know if that makes sense.
He talks like his teeth are always about to like come out or something.
Like they're going to just escape. Like, oh, my teeth!
Yeah, I don't like that.
We got to get out of Bokeem's mouth.
Right. So, yeah, he's good. I think we already talked about the part. It's Daniel Kaluuya, right? That's
Daniel Kaluuya, yeah.
He's, like, Britishness aside, he's a great fucking actor.
Man.
And, you know,
if I could be British, dog.
For what it's worth, I guess Jodie Turner Smith is, and they've marketed her as a newcomer, you know, trying to introduce her as a star.
She's British too, right?
Is she?
Heard.
God damn it. Brits are just, now I'm anti. Now I'm joining the Twitter mob of black Americans.
Just body upset. Snatchers.
Yeah. I don't think she like matched him in terms of performance. Mm. I think part of that was due to how the character was written and how she grows throughout the course of the film. But there was a little bit. It was a bit wooden to me. It was a little bit lacking, a little bit more wanting from her performance as a character. It seemed like she could have done it, but she like, played a lot of it kind of relatively straight throughout most of the film. But beyond that, it was well filmed. It definitely was. It was kind of a slow burn throughout the majority of it. I guess because the climax came at the beginning, so to speak. There's also a very weird mashup. If you ever see it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay.
There's a very weird. What would you call that thing where I got? What is that? You know, film where it's two scenes and they cut them together just back and forth.
Montage.
Is it a montage?
Oh, I know. But
famous. The Godfather made it famous.
It's like two things are happening at the same time.
Yeah,
you're leading to a point and they're different places.
Yeah.
Kind of like what was it? Dark Knight when he's like trying to go between the two.
When you're trying to get to Katie Holmes and Harvey Dent. Yeah, like that. Yeah, there's a very weird cut, at least to me, for like what they were trying to show.
Okay.
But no, I enjoyed it. I would recommend it. Criticisms aside, they're not really anything show-stopping. And It's an overall entertaining product. It's emotional. I'm also not a big just tell the shit. No, like the like black. What'd you call it before? When you did the pound thing. Like sad black movies.
Sad black.
Like helpless black movie. I don't know.
It's just like, you know, it's just like, all right.
Black shit's fucked up. I don't know.
I know. Another one. Sad black.
More or less. But stories should be told. But let's continue to have these stories being told. So definitely. That's why I try to continue to support.
Gotta shout out to listen, that. Y'all tired of sad black? Go buy a ticket and don't go. Did you buy a ticket?
Do you buy a ticket and don't go and say you went? Or just say you bought a ticket and you just leave it at that? Why? I bought a ticket, man.
I always support. I buy tickets.
Word.
Just buy out the whole.
Whole screen.
Don't nobody go.
Damn, that's a real power play right there.
Oh man. Yeah. Well, shout out Gina. Great piece in the Times.
Oh yeah, I forgot she did that.
Her review, Critics Notebook on Queen and Slim. It's been a great weekend for film, man. We kind of got through the whole pod longer than I thought we would be. But great weekend for film. Knives Out, Heat, go see it.
Knives Out.
Also, Parasite was Heat, if y'all didn't.
So you caught up, you saw it.
I did. Shout out to class cultural twisty narrative plots.
Yeah, I have a very off-color joke after the pod, but yeah. That's probably my favorite movie I saw this year. That shit was fire.
Definitely.
Yeah. It'll probably make a lot of noise for what it's worth, if it matters, at the Academy Awards. It appears. That's what the speculation is saying.
Best foreign or?
Maybe even best film, best picture, best director.
Wow, we're not going to be racist. We're going to like let a foreign film. Okay, yeah, shout out America.
South Korea, man.
Times are changing. Yeah, times are changing. K-pop, Parasite.
K-pop, they going to go up there with BTS. It's going to be dancing.
Be chilling. Bong Joon-ho. Samsung. Taking over, y'all. Shout out to South Korea. It's been another great pod, I guess.
I hope so.
Y'all keep listening. We got some heat coming. Got plans in the works, y'all.
We do.
Be ready.
Building up.
Be ready.
2020 vision.
Trying to get 100K episode.
Getting there. Right now, we got 1K pesos.
We have 0.0001K. But we do it for the love of the game.
Yeah, we do.
All right, y'all. We'll be back.
We got those savings account interest returns. Yeah, you got that shit.
It's like, you got 0.010%. It's like, what? No.
Like, fuck you for that shit.
Give me my money back.
Right, yeah.
Y'all can't hold it.
I'm getting like $1 a month off that shit.
Scam. Yeah. I'm about to start pirating. Watch your packages. I'm coming.
Got to do something. Not getting enough on the savings account. So let's do it. We out. Peace.